It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed. The Weekend Report is on the radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Producer Ryan Wiggins in the studio as well. How are you?
Yeah, you didn't know I was going to say hi.
No, I didn't. Hey, how's it going?
It's like, wait a minute. He never talks to me right at this part of the show. I have my microphone ready or anything. And Gabe Pfeiffer is in for Chris Arps for one more week. Chris will be back next week. But this week, the show is in the capable hands of Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher. The incredible St. John the Philosopher YouTube show that I highly recommend you go check out. Gabe, tell them about St. John the Philosopher on YouTube.
All right. I'm a black conservative and a Christian rocket scientist, so I come at things from a fairly unique perspective. I'm kind of a unicorn, I guess. I have commentary on religion, culture, and politics. Trying to do a little bit of deep dives on each of those subjects, but in fairly bite-sized pieces with 5 to 10 minute videos, and I like to throw in a bit of pop culture references wherever I can, mostly because I'm a big nerd. But hopefully, that proves entertaining.
It's really fun production. The drops, the movie drops, like you said, the pop culture drops that you use are great. I love that. That the videos aren't too long, 10 minutes or so, maybe, 5 to 10, maybe a little bit longer, but not usually. Mm-hmm. So it's short enough that you could just watch it and you don't have to worry about like really investing your time into it. But it's long enough that it's more than just the sound bites that unfortunately we're sometimes limited to, especially on television. A lot of times you're lucky to get more than a couple minutes out of somebody. On the radio, we're lucky enough to have a little bit more time to get in depth. But you can really dig down in those 10 minutes or so that you do and really study a topic or an issue that's happening right now. Yep. And I know you're getting used to saying, I'm a black conservative Christian rock. Rocket scientist, those things are true.
Yeah,
all those things are very, very true. Gabe is brilliant, MIT grad, literally a rocket scientist, aerospace engineer.
Yes.
Is that what
yeah,
be the?
That's the official on the documentation there.
Yeah, there
on
you
the
go.
Wall there.
So hearing these issues covered from your perspective is fascinating and compelling, and I highly recommend everybody go to YouTube, go to the search bar, type in St. John the Philosopher. Gabe is the only one with that name on YouTube, so it's the first thing that pops up. Watch yourself a couple videos, and you'll find yourself going down that YouTube wormhole and watching more and more.
Do it.
Yes, do it. All right, we have got a great weekend report on deck for you. I'm going to work backwards from the end of the show. So later on in the second hour, we are going to have our buddy Jason Nelson in studio with his entire REM tribute band. We are going to have live music in the studio here. The REM tribute show that I am hosting is coming up this coming Friday, December 14th at Del Mar Hall. I can't wait for this show. I've seen the REM tribute show a couple of times. Jason is also the guy who does the Queen tribute shows, so if you've been to any of those, you know the quality of musicians and the quality of the show that you're going to get. And if you're into REM at all, you got to come out and check out this show. The opening band, it's more like a co-headlining situation because the U2 tribute show, the band is on before the REM band and gets the same set length. So you're going to get a full set of U2 and a full set of REM at Del Mar Hall on December 14th. So that's right up my alley. So if it's right up your alley, too, do not miss the show. You can go to Del Mar Hall's website. You can go to my Twitter, at TonyColombo971. I've got all the information, ticket information, and details about the show pinned to the top of my Twitter profile. So just go and get yourself tickets or learn about the show, and don't miss it. So I can't wait for that. Also, a little bit later on in the show, we'll have another edition of the Weird News Challenge with our buddy Skip Weber. We're going to talk to State Rep Paul Kirtman about some issues happening around the state of Missouri. And we also have Father James Martin coming on the show in just a little bit. He is the preacher that
pastor
Stephen
to the
Colbert.
Stars.
He's a pastor to the stars. Stephen Colbert goes to him. Jim Gaffigan goes to him, and you may have seen Father James Martin recently on Fox News. They were talking to him about you know, the way that he counsels and talks to some of these celebrities. And I find it interesting because, you know, you're not supposed to mix religion and politics. And Stephen Colbert does a whole lot of politics. And I wonder what he, you know, what it's like when celebrities like that that are so outspoken politically, obviously with Stephen Colbert being so against the president, how does that relate to, you know, church behavior? Mm-hmm. And Gabe is a leader at our church, an elder at the church, very involved in church leadership. And so I'm really thankful that Gabe is here to have this conversation also with Father James Martin, because it's something that I'm sure that you have to deal with. And when you got, you know, you guys are talking about what happens from the pulpit at church,
mm-hmm.
you know, where's that line, you know, as far as religion and politics and current events, you know, is it okay to,
because you're talking to Democrats and Republicans in that audience.
Some preachers tell people how to vote.
Yeah.
From the pulpit.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and some stay completely away from it and won't mention it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting, you know, way of how, you know, how you decide to go about it. So looking forward to talking to Father James Martin about that. And our buddy Steve from Great Harvest Bread Company is going to be here dropping off some goodies in a little bit. Man, if
can't
you want
to,
yeah, if you want to make sure that your Christmas meal has everything it can have, go get Great Harvest Bread Company. I had a bunch of stuff at Thanksgiving, like I always do. I bring pumpkin bread, and they made these breads that look like turkeys, like literally in the shape of turkeys, and brought those to Thanksgiving dinner. And he does the same stuff for Christmas, and just the products out there are just amazing. So we'll talk to Steve about that in a little bit. Right now, let's get into what we call the Week in Review, kind of a quick look back at all the big issues happening this week. Something that dominated the news this week, obviously, Gabe, was the funeral of our 41st president.
Mm-hmm.
That news was kind of breaking last week during this show. And unfortunately, since it was just happening, it was so fresh, we didn't get really a chance to talk about the passing of George Bush 41.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we saw some very compelling television from the various ceremonies and funerals that were held for H.W. Bush. What did you think about it? What were you reminded of anything watching this president? Did you take away anything from the way we sort of tried to at least come together for a little bit?
Yeah,
as a country,
everybody was kind of talking about the, you know, that row of presidents, current and former, right?
Yeah.
And that all the interactions there, but you know, they really weren't the story. The real story.
Some people tried to make it the story, unfortunately.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. Everybody wanted to talk about it, and everybody had their own spin on it. Oh,
right.
Oh, is it like, look at everybody's faces when Trump shows up. And then the other side is like, look at everybody's faces when Trump shows up.
Right, you know? Right, right.
So it's the exact same thing. They're just looking at it completely different.
Yes.
So, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, my focus, you know, having you know, I lost my dad last year, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Well, last August. So, you know, my focus was really on, you know, seeing how W and the family kind of dealt with it and how they honored their father and things like that. You know, kind of I went back to that place, too.
Yeah.
You know, especially watching.
Me too. My dad died just over a year ago. And
yeah.
You see, you know, W up there giving the eulogy, and I remember standing there doing the same
mm-hmm,
thing.
Trying to hold it together.
Yeah, it really.
It was touching. It was very touching. Watching Bob Dole.
That was an amazing moment.
He's like, lift me up, you know. Yeah. I got it, and you got a salute from a standing position. You know, those military guys, man, they really, you know, they understand that whole honor thing.
Will we take away anything from this as a country, as far as like unity, or will we be right back to partisan politics as usual?
Sadly, I think, you know, like all of the other, you know, blips of hope that we get in pop culture or in the news and things like that, it's going to be a momentary thing. I mean, even 9/11 was momentary.
Yeah, great point.
You know, period of
unity. If that wasn't enough,
it lasted a week.
Yeah,
you know,
it really did. It was about a week.
Yeah,
and we weren't even in. I mean, we were partisan then, but
not,
it wasn't
not
as nasty
as,
then as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what we would do if another 9/11 happened, if we would even come together for a week.
Oh, no. No, it might be 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, which is sad. It's very sad. Anybody that hasn't done, if you are at all like into presidential history or U.S. history or just into, you know, fascinating documentaries about fascinating people, do a little research about H.W. Go and
he was a beast.
There's a documentary that was, I think, made by HBO. I saw it on HBO at least.
Mm-hmm.
Called 41. Came out 3 or 4 years ago. You're just reminded of all the things that this guy did for the country. I mean, he was president, obviously, but, you know, 8 years of vice president under Ronald Reagan, CIA director, mm-hmm. UN ambassador, United States congressman, combat pilot in World War II. Everybody knows that story of him, you know, getting shot down and getting pulled out of the ocean. But I had forgotten that he was hit before he finished his mission of dropping bombs on whatever target, Japanese target he was heading towards,
mm-hmm.
and he finished the mission
first
with a plane that was on fire.
I think I'd read that. Yeah,
before bailing out and then getting pulled and getting saved. I mean, that unbelievable. This is just unbelievable stuff. So, again, if you're at all into, you know, U.S. history, presidential history, he's a fascinating guy. You should go and watch that documentary or learn a little bit more. It's really, really great stuff.
Yeah, whatever you thought about his policies or anything like that, they don't make them like they used to when it comes to H.W.
Very true. All right, let's move into some of the stories of the week. Jerome Corsi says Robert Mueller tried to bully him into giving false testimony and the special investigation being held, of course, by Robert Mueller. Jerome Corsi connected to Roger Stone, who's connected to Donald Trump. That's sort of the way it all works there.
Yeah, everybody knows everybody.
What was your reaction to the allegation made by Jerome Corsi? Does it change the way you think about the special investigation? Where are you at with the special investigation overall? Are you ready for it to be over?
I was done with it a long time ago. Yeah. But the thing is, just on the special investigation itself, we keep getting these, you know, little drips and drab releases here and there. And even those seem to be timed. Like the last two major, you know, quote unquote, major Russia truth bombs came just ahead of Trump's, you know, potential visits with Putin or meetings with Putin. So it's almost like, oh, let me sabotage this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems shady.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if there are any allegations that have any veracity to them, and I guess some people will say that there's some veracity, then things should be investigated. But once you've kind of exhausted the claims, just let it go and move on. But of course, that's not how the world works. That's not how people work.
Right.
You appoint a special investigator. He's going to investigate until he can investigate no more.
Yeah.
And he's going to find something
he's
on somebody.
To.
Well, sure.
You don't if he uses all the resources he's used
over all the time,
all the people, all the money, and all over 2 years, and comes back and says I didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
People are gonna accuse him of, you know, not doing his job. So he's got to find something, and that's how every special prosecutor works.
Yes.
So anybody that went into this and thought, well, good, because after this, you know, he won't find anything, and everybody will be exonerated,
and we'll know the truth.
That's not how special prosecutors work.
No.
He'll find something, whether it's what he was looking for. That doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, he's already getting, you know, Paul Manafort on things from 15 years before.
Mm-hmm.
What he's supposed to be investigating.
Yep.
So, you know, he's gonna get something, because you don't spend all this time and money and then say I didn't find anything.
Exactly. Now, as to Corsi specifically, it's, you know, it's kind of he said, right? Like he told me the lies. Like, yeah, no, I didn't. well, you know, and you see that in the reporting too. Oh, see, this proves that the Mueller investigation is corrupt, and the other people are saying this proves that Corsi's a conspiracy theorist,
right?
Right?
Yeah, so absolutely,
whatever.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. But when we get back, we have a packed second hour, and usually we start hour two with the Week in Review Part 2, but we're just going to kind of keep the Week in Review rolling into this next segment. So don't go anywhere. More with Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, on a very packed Weekend Report. It's going to be a great show, so don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher. Gabe is in for Chris Arps this week. Chris will be back next week. Hope you are enjoying your holiday season. Thanks again, Gabe, for coming in for another week for us.
Anytime, man.
You have been the go-to fill-in guy. Chris Arps is a busy, busy man.
Yes.
And so he has, you know, his crazy life takes him away from the studio from time to time. And, you know, this is the end. You know, as we're wrapping up the year, we're in that holiday season of looking back at the year and thanking our friends and family for everything that they do for us. So thank you for all the times that you've been on this show and other shows here on the radio station, all the fill-in work that you've done. Really appreciate it. Really good stuff.
Thanks. Well, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to a lot more Gabe Pfeiffer and St. John the Philosopher YouTube show in 2019.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so make sure you guys go and check that out. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. That's Gabe's show, and it's great stuff.
I got plans, man.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
Keep an eye out.
Oh, that's good to know. I like that tease. That's good stuff. So we are rolling through what we call the Week in Review. We've got a busy, busy show coming up. Live music going to be in studio with Jason Nelson and the REM Tribute Band. I'm hosting the REM Tribute Show this Friday at Del Mar Hall. Hope to see you out there. We'll talk to Jason all about that. Weird News Challenge with our buddy Skip Weber coming up in a little bit. State Rep Paul Kirtman going to be joining us also to talk about some stuff happening in the state. And next segment, Father James Martin, the preacher to the stars, the pastor to the stars. His parishioners include Stephen Colbert and Jim Gaffigan, and he's been on Fox News a couple times, and looking forward to a good discussion with Father James Martin in just a few minutes. But right now, want to roll through a couple more of the headlines of the day. CIA Director Gina Haspel briefed Senate leaders about the murder of Jamal Khashoggi this week. Lindsey Graham and others say it's pretty clear that the Crown Prince, MBS, was involved. This is a shortcoming of me. I'm sure I'm wrong about this. I'm sure people, they're going to gasp when I say this. I'm having a hard time getting emotional about this story. Mm-hmm. I understand a man was murdered.
Right.
People are murdered every day, unfortunately, and none of it's right. And it all should be investigated, and there should be justice to the people who committed these acts.
Definitely.
But we've, you know, I look back at Benghazi, you know, with the United States, yeah, ambassador, you know, getting murdered, and others in there, and as horrible as that was, I don't remember that being as big. I don't remember the media focus even on that with the United States ambassador being involved as there is on this. And again, I'm not saying that you just let it go and you let the Saudis or whoever, you know, all the people involved get away with it. But I'm just having a hard time with all the other things happening here, all the other issues that we're dealing with, the border and everything else. I'm having a hard time getting invested in the Jamal Khashoggi story. Am I a monster?
A little bit, but we all are.
Right, sure.
But, you know, I feel you in that, you know, Khashoggi's not a U.S. citizen. You know, he's
a member of the press. It's bad.
Now, he's worked with us, you know, in that way. You know, he's a correspondent on some of our news networks and things like that. But he's not a U.S. citizen. It wasn't on U.S. soil. It didn't involve U.S. personnel. At best, it's something bad that happened in a foreign country to another foreign person.
So let's talk about this.
And that happens all the time.
All the time.
Every day across the world.
Atrocities every day.
Yeah.
Horrible atrocities every day.
And we never respond to those.
Right.
But I think the media is, because they have their own interests at heart here, because they want to protect their ability to go places and feel safe and all
right.
that. They want the government to come in and do something heavy-handed to ensure that. And I can understand that sentiment. But in the grand scheme of things, this is small potatoes.
I think my issue with it is that I don't believe the I don't believe that the bulk of the media coverage is this honest push to get to the bottom of a murder. I feel like it's just a – I feel like when the bulk of the media looks at this story, they look for ways to criticize the president, and that's all it's about. It's not about the man. It's not about the act. It's about how can we turn this into a story that we can rip the president. He was too soft. I didn't like the way he came out and talked about this. I didn't like the way that he like pretended like the crown prince wasn't involved. I didn't like that at all. I thought the president looked weak. I thought he looked bad.
He brushed things off way too easily.
I didn't like that at all. Mm-hmm. And they jumped all over him for that. If he would have put down the iron fist and he would have said, "Look, we're not dealing with Saudi. We're cutting off relations with Saudi Arabia." they'd have been all over him for provoking a war in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, hey, whatever the president does, we're going to take the opposite stance, which is an easy thing to do in a case like this because it's so thorny.
Right.
I think part of the reason that I have that this story just frustrates me so much is because I feel like it's not about the man. It's not about the murder. It's just another way for the media to find a way to attack the president.
Oh yeah, and people may consider that a cynical view of the press, but I think they entirely deserve it.
Yeah,
they entirely deserve that cynical view because every time we look at them, no matter what is happening, they're going to choose to spin the story or to present the story as a loss or a bad deal. They're gonna do something to slime the president.
Absolutely.
So he can't. You know, obviously he's. Doesn't care about them. So he's not going to do things to please them or displease them, however it pans out. But it would be nice if the Fifth Estate was a little bit more on our side in that they presented a more balanced view of these things and criticized him where he really deserves criticism and gives him kudos when he deserves it too. So, you know.
This just popped in my head. I don't want to forget to remind people with such a busy show like we have today. It's easy to miss stuff, or maybe you want to go back and listen to something again. Don't forget, you can always go to our website, 971talk.com, and click on podcasts and see all the podcasts of all the shows here on the radio station. Download them for free, listen to them there on the website for free, take them with you. You start with the weekend report and then work down from there. But even better, even easier, and even cooler, in my opinion, is the radio.com app. Download the radio.com app. Like the radio station, FM News Talk 97.1, and same thing. You'll see all the shows. You can stream the station live right there on the app, but you'll see all the shows and all the podcasts right there on the app. And with a click of a button, a click of your finger, you can have these podcasts, the Weekend Report podcast, Second Amendment Radio podcast. Do I have any other shows to promote? Andy Fry Show, Andy Dave Fry Glover Show, Mark Cox Show, all of them are right there, right on the app. It's so easy. It's already there in your phone. You just push the button, stick your headphones in, and listen to the podcast absolutely free. So make sure you check out the radio.com app. It really is a cool, easy way to keep up with everything happening here at the radio station. And again, start with the Weekend Report and then work your way through the rest.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, we're going to have our first guest of our many guests in the studio today. We have lots of great guests coming up on today's show. Father James Martin is going to be coming up in just a few minutes. State Rep Paul Kurtman a little bit later on. But first guest joining us right now in the studio is our friend Steve Jawar from Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood. Steve, how are you?
Good, Tony. How you guys doing?
Thank you so much for coming in. Steve walks in room, everybody gets happy. All the smiles go on everybody's faces, and the smell is just
it's phenomenal.
It's incredible.
Oh my gosh. This is my favorite time of the year. So the holidays.
Me too. I was just gonna say that, Steve. So I talk about Great Harvest Bread Company all year long. I'm a customer all year long. Your products are great no matter what time of year it is or what the temperature is outside. But there is something special about it getting cold, the holiday season specifically, the Christmas, you know, this holiday Christmas season that we're in, and the products that you guys have at Great Harvest Maplewood, they just all seem to go hand in hand. Talk about what we got here in front of us and just, you know, the bakery in general.
Well, that's my favorite time of the year, the holidays, Hanukkah and Christmas coming up here, and we just, you know, we're blessed that we get to bake all this great stuff for mm-hmm. all the folks. So obviously, you know, I got a box of cookies here.
Oh, yeah.
We do lots of different varieties of cookies. Your favorite, the oatmeal chocolate chip.
Heck
but we
yeah.
also do, you know, ginger snaps and snickerdoodles.
I love ginger
and
snaps.
Sugar cookies. And so we do a lot of gift ordering around this time of year where people are picking up boxes of cookies. Obviously, a lot of our holiday items. I have some eggnog scones in here. And, of course,
nice.
Your number one favorite, that pumpkin chocolate chip bread
and
that we do pretty much all the year, but mm-hmm. it's a real popular one around Thanksgiving and
yeah, I don't know why
Christmas.
It tastes better in November and December, but it does. And it's great all year long, but there's just a little something extra this
yeah.
time of year.
It's just pumpkin. And then I also, it was coming right out of the oven, so I grabbed a loaf of this Schlafly bacon cheddar beer bread. We use Schlafly's pale ale, and everybody got a bite of that.
I got more than a bite, and I'm still. Oh my gosh, it's
yeah.
so good!
Yeah.
I can't stop.
Well, so every year I get a bunch of stuff for Thanksgiving, which I would recommend everybody do every year. Make sure you stop by Great Harvest Maplewood before your Thanksgiving dinner. Big hit this year at our Thanksgiving dinner was the bread that looks like a turkey that you
yep.
bake in the shape of a turkey.
Yep.
What do you have any of those specialty breads in December?
Yep. We've got for Hanukkah and Christmas, we do little bread bears. They're
yeah.
cute little teddy bread bears
uh-huh.
out of our honey wheat bread. So we'll be selling those. We have little baby bread bears and we have the big ones. We're also doing our chocolate babka bread for Christmas this year,
mm-hmm.
Cherry walnut, of course, all the pumpkin breads, and then all of our different rolls, our dinner rolls for the holidays, the herb Virginia rolls and the rosemary
mm-hmm.
garlic rolls and the cranberry orange rolls. And so those are real big hot. But the little bread bears are the kind of the seasonal creature for the
right.
for the year.
I love it. Everybody should know to go in to Great Harvest in Maplewood to get all of these amazing baked goods, the breads, the cookies, the muffins, and all that. But maybe a couple things that people don't know about are things like catering and lunch. So talk a little bit about some of the other services that you guys offer.
Yeah, we're just not a bakery. We also, because the bread is so, you know, awesome, you know, we do all types of sandwiches and lunch boxes. And so you can come in for a turkey or roast beef sandwich, and you can get it on a different kind of bread every day of the week.
So cool.
You know, one day you can get a turkey sandwich on this Schlafly bacon cheddar beer bread, and
that
the next
sounds so good right now too.
Oh my god!
It could be on Dakota bread or honey wheat, or so. The combinations are kind of endless. So we do some lunches and some sandwiches.
Look, I'm not kidding when I say it's the best. Mm-hmm. I eat the pumpkin chocolate chip like it's a meal. It doesn't need to be the bread on a sandwich. It doesn't need anything put on it. It is just fine the way it is. Don't touch it. It's so freaking good. Real quick, just remind folks that may have seen other Great Harvests, and you should absolutely, you know, go and visit your, you know, any Great Harvest you see, and you're probably going to get some unbelievable food. But it's not like McDonald's or Burger King where you guys all have the same menu and the same food. It's more of a co-op situation than it is, where you're all together. Talk about that a little bit and what kind of stands your bakery out from some of the others.
Yeah, Great Harvest Bread Company is exactly what you said. It's a co-op of family bakeries throughout the United States. I think there's about 200 of us. Now in 42 states. We have two here in St. Louis. There's an owner that has a Great Harvest in Kirkwood, and then we're in Maplewood. And we're very, very unique in that they want us to be community neighborhood bakeries, not, you know, a McDonald's chain where we're all the same. So every bakery is very distinct and unique, and we all bake some of the same breads, but,
sure.
you know, we all have, you know, different specialties, and we're all catering to different communities.
Well, I've seen it myself how you guys mill it on site right there. Everything is made from scratch in the bakery in Maplewood, which is why everything is so much better than anywhere else you're going to go. Before we let you go, Steve, tell people exactly where the bakery is so they can come out and make sure they have all these wonderful products for their Christmas feasts, and website, social media, any of that other stuff you want to promote. Let folks know how to do it.
Sure. We're currently taking orders right now for the holidays. We have our order form on our website, www.greatharvestmaplewood.com. Mm-hmm. We're at 7360 Manchester Road in Maplewood, right across from the new Schnucks store.
Yeah, it used to be Shop and Save.
Used to be Shop and Save. Now it's Schnucks at Maplewood Square there. And, you know, we're baking, you know, 6 days a week, and I'll probably be baking nonstop from now to Christmas to fill all the orders.
I imagine.
But you know, go online or call the bakery, and you can place what you need for your special holidays.
As soon as you walk in, the smell hits you in the face. Your great partners there with La Cosecha Coffee. It's just like a match made in heaven. You open that door and just you get happy because it just smells so good, and you know it just feels like the holidays. So I cannot recommend it enough. Steve, thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for bringing this stuff. We really appreciate everything you do for this radio show and all your support throughout the year. So just wanted to have you in to say thank you for that and remind everybody to get out there. Great Harvest Bread Company in Maplewood. GreatHarvestMaplewood.com if you want to see more on the website. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, let's take a break. More Weekend Report coming up. Father James Martin going to join us on the phone next. Don't miss it. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher from the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show. Gabe is in for Chris Arps for one more week. Thanks again for that, my friend.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Make sure you go go to YouTube, type in St. John the Philosopher. The only person that will pop up is Gabe, the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show, YouTube channel. Real quick, just the basics of that, of what you do there on YouTube.
Right. Religion, culture, and politics commentary by a black conservative Christian rocket scientist.
And he can back up all of those claims. He is black. He is a conservative.
Yep.
He is Christian.
Yep.
He's a church leader. And a legit rocket scientist.
For real.
MIT grad. Yeah. He's the most impressive guy in the room by far. Producer Ryan Wiggins is here as well. And Ryan, I want you to feel free to chime in on this discussion that we're about to have, because Ryan was the one who brought our next guest to my attention. And then I did some research and did a little reading about Father James Martin, and found him to be fascinating and somebody who I thought, especially with Gabe in studio today, would be a great guy to have on the show. So joining us now is Father James Martin from New York City. Father, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I can't complain. Again, I just want to say thank you for your time and for joining us on the show today. And if anybody if that name is at all like ringing a bell, like, hey, I think I've heard that name before. I know that you have made a little national news just because of your association with some big celebrities. For example, Jim Gaffigan, Stephen Colbert, possibly others. People, I think, would find that interesting, but they are all parishioners of yours and your church. Am I right about that?
Well, sort of. I work at America Media, which is a Jesuit ministry, and, you know, Jesuits like St. Louis University and SLU High.
Sure.
We've actually had them on our show,
which is kind of
a YouTube show. But, yeah, so, you know, we talk about people's faith lives and, you know, what their image of God is like and stuff like that. So they were just two of our recent guests.
Gotcha. Where can people, so you have a YouTube show. We were just promoting Gabe's YouTube show.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're there on YouTube, and we'll do this again at the end, but since it just came up, while people are on YouTube and they're watching Gabe's show and then they want to watch your show, how do they? What do you search on YouTube? How do they find your show?
Oh, sure. Super easy. It's America Media. That's our YouTube channel. And, you know, it'll pop right up. The name of the show is Faith and Focus.
Very good. And what do you guys, what's the general discussion on the show?
Yeah, basically people's faith lives. You know, we have a big guest, you know, usually someone who's pretty well known. Mm-hmm. But then we also have people who may not be as well known who talk about just experiences of God in their life and prayer and things like that. So it's, you know, it's actually what this show says, Faith and Focus.
I love it. I love it. And the one of the reasons that I wanted to talk to you is because, you know, having Stephen Colbert on the show, it's a side of a guy like Colbert that not many people would ever get the opportunity to see. And, you know, we're a Fox News affiliate here in St. Louis, and there's some shows on this radio station that are pretty hardcore news politics. You know, some of our guys, and I can get a little riled up from time to time, too. I'm not going to say that, you know, I'm not one of them. You know, that we get, we kind of take our sides politically. And we go into the boxing ring and we yell and scream and fight with people who are on the other side. Stephen Colbert, somebody who is obviously very famous for being very liberal. He's a very outspoken critic of the president, which many people that's why many people love him. That's why many people hate him. But it doesn't end there with anybody like Stephen Colbert or people that you see on the news. You know, there's obviously other sides to them. They have either they do have their religious beliefs or don't have their religious beliefs. But all those discussions are fascinating. How is it when you have somebody on your show that's so known for maybe political beliefs? Do you see people like that bringing those beliefs into their religion, or are people able to separate the two?
I think they're able to separate the two. I think the question is more, do people bring their religion into their, you know, political world? And they do. But, you know, on the show, we talk about faith topics. And, yeah, that really transcends, you know, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, even progressive, traditional. So, you know, you find out that, you know, people that you might disagree with have, you know, things that you agree with in terms of their perspective on God and Jesus and stuff like that. So I think it's a kind of it actually, in many ways, can be a uniting force, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And where do you come down on? We've talked about on this show before the dynamics of people. You know, it's the things you're not supposed to talk about at a dinner party. You're not supposed to talk about religion. You're not supposed to talk about politics. But more and more, we see the two sort of getting blended together. And we hear stories or talk to people who have pastors or bishops or preachers that from the pulpit tell them how to vote. And then others, you know, that don't, that keep it completely, that will not talk about things in the news or politics at all. In this day and age, where politics is such a big deal in everybody's lives, it's so prominent in the news. What's your opinion of how politics and religion should live together? Should they be completely separate, or should they mix?
Well, that's a good point. I think it's a good point. I think, you know, you bring your religious beliefs and your moral values into the voting booth, of course, and I think that's appropriate. But in terms of Catholic priests and bishops and, you know, any representative of the Catholic Church, at least, we are not supposed to endorse or, you know, tell people to vote for or tell people they're going to hell for voting for this person. So from my point of view, what I do, for example, I will never mention the words Democrat or Republican or, you know, President Trump or Senator Clinton in a homily. You know, I might talk vaguely or generally about, you know, helping the poor and, you know, peace and, you know, pro-life stuff. But I will never say, you know, this is the person you have to vote for, because, you know, frankly, I mean, Pope Francis put it best. We're supposed to form people's consciences, not replace them, right? And so it also, I think one of the most important things is that it also divides your congregation. Mm-hmm. You know, so if I went up and said, you know, well, you should all vote for this person, or I'm a Democrat, or I'm a Republican, it makes one half of the congregation feel sort of left out. And that is not what you want in church. You want people to feel included. And, you know, there's ways of talking about it that you don't, you know, and you shouldn't sort of suborn people into that. So I'm actually pretty strict about it. I try to keep it out completely.
Sorry, Father Martin is Gabe Pfeiffer here. I'm just ready to jump in. In these days of a lot of political polarization and things like that, do you get much in the way of having to counsel families through that type of relationship splits,
like disputes,
and disputes in the family, and especially around the holidays, right? Everybody's coming together, but not coming together. Do you encounter that much in your ministry?
Well, you know, Gabe, I do. It's not a sort of big problem in the sense that people aren't really, you know, hugely upset, but it is something they talk about. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're you know, I'm worried about going back home because of my father or my mother or my sister or my brother. And, you know, frankly, everybody just avoids it. I won't say which side of the spectrum, but I was home for Thanksgiving a while ago, and we all agreed not to talk about politics. And my cousin, who's lovely and is a Trump supporter, mentioned Donald Trump. And his wife, who was sort of on the opposite side of the fence, ran out of the kitchen and said, "I told you not to say anything." And he said, "I was just mentioning his name." So I think, you know, I think people understand that there are certain, you know, things that you need to do to sort of be, you know, sympathetic to one another. And I actually think, you know, holidays are stressful enough without people having political arguments, right? You know.
Yeah. Father James Martin, unfortunately, we are just about out of time. I'd love to have you back on again. We have a little bit more time to talk with you and get a little bit deeper into these topics. I knew this was going to happen today. I knew we'd just get rolling and we run out of time. But you can watch Father James Martin on YouTube. Check out that show. Remind people again how to watch you on YouTube and any websites or any other social media you might have if they want to learn more.
Yeah, sure. Just it's on YouTube. It's America Media. And then under Father James Martin, I am on Facebook and I'm on Twitter at James Martin SJ and on Instagram as well.
Very good, Father. Well, thank you so much for your time. And hopefully we can talk to you again very soon.
My pleasure. I hope so.
All right. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, more Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
That's right, the Weekend Report is on the radio. Hour number two of the Weekend Report is on the radio. I'm Tony Colombo. My buddy Gabe Pfeiffer is here. And for Chris Arps, one more time, producer Ryan Wiggins in the studio as well. Going to be talking to our friend, State Representative Paul Kirtman, in just a second. But want to give Gabe a chance here real quick. Gabe is the host of the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show, a YouTube show that has my bright, shining stamp of approval. I love it. I think you should check it out. If you have not seen any episodes of the St. John the Philosopher YouTube show, go and check it out. And Gabe, tell them what it's about.
I do a commentary on religion, culture, and politics from my unique perspective as a black conservative religious rocket scientist. So take that how you will. And I try to have a little fun, but still go pretty deep into these topics.
Yeah.
You know, all within 5 to 10 minutes worth of a video.
Yeah, I love them. It's a great show, and you guys should check it out. St. John the Philosopher on YouTube. Type in St. John the Philosopher in the YouTube search bar, and Gabe's the only guy.
That's
so
right.
So pop up first and check out some shows. Really, really good stuff. And now, like I said, joining us on the phone is our friend, State Representative Paul Kirtman. How are you, State Rep Kirtman?
I'm doing really good, Tony. Good to be with you today.
Yeah, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to be with us again. I know you've got an appointment coming up in just a few minutes, so we will definitely get you in and out of here and get you to that. Wanted to talk about a couple of things that we have touched on throughout this week here on the radio station. One being the news this week that Governor Parson, in a news conference, talked about being very high on his priority list for your guys' work in Jefferson City in 2019 is to end the fact that Missouri is the only state in the union that still does not have a prescription drug monitoring program. Is the governor right to put such a focus on this drug monitoring program? Is this something that you feel is as important as the governor does?
This is one area where I probably do disagree with the governor.
Okay.
And now, for full disclosure, I have voted on this bill several times in the past, and I've always voted no. And the reason I voted no is it's true. Missouri is the only state in the union that has not passed legislation to give us a prescription drug monitoring program. However, we're not the only state that doesn't have one. Other states have passed the prescription drug monitoring program. They just haven't funded it. And so we're not the only state that doesn't currently have one.
Gotcha.
I think a couple years ago or a year ago maybe, Governor Greitens actually signed an executive order to kind of build the framework for a prescription drug monitoring program. And from what I've been able to see, the results from across the whole nation just demonstrate that these don't actually work to curb prescription drug overdoses. If they did, then you would expect Missouri to be like leading the whole nation in prescription drug deaths and overdoses, but we're not. We're right in the middle of the pack. So the data just kind of demonstrates that these don't actually curb them the way they're kind of being sold to the states.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. We all know that the opioid epidemic is a big deal, and the governor is sort of tying this prescription drug monitoring program into the opioid epidemic. But like you said, we don't lead the country in opioid overdoses. So the fact that we don't have a prescription drug monitoring program must not be the only, must not be making us any worse than anywhere else. What can be done in your mind to combat the opioid epidemic? What's the right way to sort of attack this thing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because I'm not somebody who just says no to stuff. I think we have to have solutions. And so what I did was I actually did a little bit of research, and I'm trying to remember which journal it was. It was, I don't know if it was the Western, I can't remember the title exactly, but it's something like the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine. And they did a study. So this is a scholarly peer-reviewed journal, and they did a study of all these different prescription drug monitoring programs. They said these don't really work the way that they're intended. And what they suggested is they said that the training needs to be put on doctors, and that there needs to be more oversight of doctors, not necessarily keeping databases of the people in what drugs and prescription drugs they're using, but rather how the doctors are actually prescribing these medicines and whether or not there's enough checks and balances there. Because this is a two-way street. We don't have this problem just because someone wakes up in the morning and decides they're going to go overdose on prescription drugs. We have this problem because people are getting it from people who are allowed by law to prescribe it from doctors. So this is kind of a two-way street. And we have other professional organizations that exist in other industries that allow them to self-regulate. That way the government does not have to step in and regulate the people that they're serving. And I think this is probably one of those areas. So the Western Journal of Emergency Medicine, if I got that title correctly, they suggested more training and more oversight of the doctors, not necessarily keeping databases and tracking the people.
Yeah, I don't know the stats. So, this is what I'm about to say is not based in fact. But as I think about it, a lot like you just said, a lot of people get these drugs from family members or, somebody that they know that gets them prescribed legally that doesn't mm-hmm. use them. And then they either sell them or they give them to people. Or another big way is just buying them illegally off the street. I don't know that either of those things would be addressed in a drug monitoring program, because you're not going to know that, that Timmy is taking all of grandma's Vicodin, in a prescription drug monitoring program. I'm not saying that it's, I'm not saying that it's a worthless endeavor. I'm sure that done properly, there could be, some good info gained from a prescription drug monitoring program, but maybe not the number one way to combat the opioid epidemic.
That's right. I just hope that if this law gets put in and it's passed, I hope that I lobbied in the past for metrics in this type of legislation. So that way, over the course of the next several years, we can actually measure it to make sure it's doing what we say it's going to do. And then if it's not, we need to readjust.
Yeah. Are you worried about the cost of it? Is that part of the reason that, does the cost maybe not justify the program?
I am worried about the cost. I think when you look at how these programs have been used in different states, if it doesn't do for Missouri what we're saying it's going to do, and by judging from what it's done for other states, I don't see the evidence that says that it is going to do what we say it's going to do. So I think any money that we spend on something where we don't have a reasonable expectation of success, I think means that we need to kind of stay at the drawing board until we actually figure it out. And that's why I think it's important that we have metrics in there. That way we can actually measure the value that we're getting from this.
Talking to Missouri State Rep Paul Kirtman, another big news story this week was several of your colleagues there in Jefferson City and both the Missouri House and the Senate resigned their positions from curious timing. So an amendment was passed recently that said lawmakers have to wait 2 years before registering to become a lobbyist in Jefferson City. Currently, I think, or before that amendment took place on Thursday, it was a six-month waiting period. And I guess those lobbyist jobs are fairly lucrative. So we saw a bunch of lawmakers resign in the moments before that that bill took place in order to leave their options open to register as a lobbyist. What did you think of what we saw this week as far as some guys and girls bailing out and maybe just in time to, you know, to register to become a lobbyist?
You know what? They're at least they're doing it legally.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'll say this. Some of the best help that I've gotten in Jefferson City has come from former representatives that have been hired by people in the private sector to represent their interests there in the Capitol building. However, if you're resigning like 1 month before the end of your term,
yeah,
I think it's, you know, just come right out and tell us,
right,
you know, you're,
right,
you're resigning because you're getting a job as a lobbyist. I'm fine with that.
Sure,
they're doing
me
the
too.
Law there.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, just, I know Jake Hummel, who I know, former state senator. I mean, he seemed pretty forthright. You know, he said,
yeah,
I'm taking a job working for, I can't remember who it was for, one of the labor organizations,
mm-hmm,
but he came right out and said it. And I think that's
which
really
is fine, which is totally fine. Look,
yeah,
hey, I got 1 day left. I want to be alive. This is what I want to do next. I can't wait 2 years before I can take my next job. So I'm getting out. I'd much rather prefer that than like, oh, you know, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Like you said, a month before the end of a term.
Yeah, if they say that they're retiring from the legislature to focus on their family or their job, well, between now and the next session, there is literally nothing going on. Like,
right,
former legislators have already been purged from the website. There's no session. There's no more votes. There's no reason for anybody,
right,
for anybody to resign. So, I mean, if they're resigning to become a lobbyist, fine. But if they're saying that it's to focus on other things, and it just happens that other thing is being a lobbyist, you know, January 2nd,
mm-hmm,
different story.
Mr. Kirtman, Gabe Pfeiffer here. Just wanted to ask, what do you think the overall effect, you know, the long-term effect of this bill will have on the conduct of lawmakers as they're transitioning out of public life and into private life?
Yeah, I tell you this, you can, for those legislators that want to be lobbyists, you'll probably see a lot of legislators come in and spend their time in the legislature. So the original problem was we had people in the legislature that were working, and while they were there, they were leveraging their time there to get a job as a lobbyist. Mm-hmm. I think you're still going to see that to one degree or another, but now there's this 2-year cooling off period, they call it. So I think they were less likely to obviously see people immediately become lobbyists. But they're still going to be around. They're still going to be in the circles because lobbyists and private organizations, they want to hire somebody who knows the legislative system. And so they're still going to look towards former legislators to be lobbyists. There'll be a 2-year gap there. So at least we'll kind of get rid of that whole leveraging aspect of current sitting office holders just trying to game their time there for a better, more lucrative job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talking to State Rep Paul Kirtman, almost out of time. Before we let you go, Paul, I just wanted to get your quick thoughts on George H.W. Bush. I know that you are a veteran, George, 41. I would bet the House will be the last president to serve in be in combat,
mm-hmm,
and then go and serve as the commander in chief. What did you think about the nation's send off of our 41st president this week?
I thought it was great, and it's not what I was expecting. I don't even think the Bush family was expecting it. I know that from watching the news that, I mean, there was just people in line around the clock for hours or days just waiting to. Yeah. And I heard somebody give really good commentary that I thought was right. I think there was a lot of nostalgia there because, I mean, the last World War II veteran, this guy got shot, you know, flying over the Pacific. And that is that this really marks the passing of an era. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the greatest generation, you know, to what we have today and to what we'll have tomorrow and over the next several election cycles. And I think people, I think in America, there's just kind of this desire to return back to the old, more, I say the old ways, but I mean that kind of in more of a nostalgic America, mm-hmm. you know, that people remember, that generation brought to us. So I appreciated it. I liked it. And I like seeing that so many people turned out for that funeral, just civilians driving all the way across the country, flying in from across the world just for an opportunity to visit the Capitol building while his body was lying there in state.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. That is Representative Paul Kirtman. Before we let you go, any social media websites, anything that you want to promote? If people want to keep an eye on you and what you're working on in the Capitol, how can they do that?
I am on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Paul Kirtman, and website, paulkirtman.com.
Very good. Thank you very much, Paul. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy your holidays if we don't talk to you before.
All right, you too. Bye.
All right. Always great to talk to Representative Paul Kirtman. Good stuff there. We are going to go ahead and take a break. When we get back, the Weird News Challenge with the one and only Skip Weber. And very excited, a little bit later on in this hour, we're going to have live music in the studio. Our friend Jason Nelson has the REM tribute show coming up this week, right around the corner. And we're going to have some REM live music in the studio as we talk about that show. So I can't wait. Very exciting hour of the Weekend Report still to come. Don't go anywhere. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Gabe Pfeiffer is in the studio, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher. Gabe is in for Chris Arps for one more week. We certainly appreciate that. Ryan Wiggins, producer of the Stars, in the studio as well. And
you can tell by that music.
You can tell by that music that the one and only
theme song is back.
Skip Weber.
He was all smiles when that song
That's
came
right.
on, man.
Theme song is back.
That's right. That's right. Ryan screwed up last week. Yeah, he paid the price. He was reprimanded. Yeah. There was consequences.
I got taken to the woodshed, Skip.
Well, I'm going to let you know that it was not at my request. I was going to forgive the one, but, you know, some of the guys around here are perfectionists.
You say one word, and it happens, though, man.
Perry and the Whalers.
Perry and the Whalers is my theme song.
For Skip Weber. We'll talk a little bit. Later about Weber Chevrolet and everything happening at the dealership. Also want to remind people that coming up in the next segment is Jason Nelson and the REM tribute band Murmur. That big show is coming up on December 14th this Friday out at Del Mar Hall. I'm hosting it. I can't freaking wait. That show is amazing. And the boys from Murmur are going to be in studio with us playing some music in the next segment. But we're also, I want to wait until then because I want to play the game to talk to you about Weber Chevrolet. But I did have one question before we got started about
sure.
Weber. We were talking off the air, and I'm sure you'll cover this, about all the incentives that are
right.
happening in the month of December. I was wondering specifically about the because I'm a truck guy, and I've had actually people come up and ask me this question about the incentives on the 2018 Silverados.
On the
18s, because you talked so much in November about how those deals on those 18s were so
yes.
incredible.
So that was
is that still
and that November deals was largely. Us,
uh-huh.
not Detroit. Detroit has thrown employee pricing for everything, for everyone, excuse me, on many, 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 many vehicles, most of our vehicles, including all 2018s. And so,
nice.
Yeah, the Silverado, the discount is possibly a little bit bigger even than
what
it was. But not that's not all our participation. It's mostly Detroit's participation.
But still,
at this point. Yeah.
What it's a great. Time to
who
buy.
Who cares? I mean, as a buyer, who cares?
Exactly. Who cares who's giving you the discount as long as you're getting it? So those Silverados, particularly the 18s. Yeah. I mean, the 19s are cool and all. I also wanted to say thank you because I had my truck up at Weber and Creve Coeur getting worked on this week. Sean Chambliss, my guy out there.
Right,
amazing. Everybody in the service department there is amazing. Sean's my guy.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Yeah. They put me in a 19 Silverado.
Yeah, that's what we have
for the day that you guys were working on my truck, and those things are sick.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Pretty cool.
Those things are freaking amazing. So, go get yourself a 19, or take advantage of the great deals on the 18.
Grab an 18, yeah.
And you can't go wrong at Weber Chevrolet. And we'll get into that. We'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. But right now, it is time for America's favorite game show. The Weird News Challenge, Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, and there could be some history made in the studio today.
Oh, man.
Skip is here, obviously, Gabe Pfeiffer and Ryan Wiggins. That is the competitors in today's
event.
Now,
there's three of us tied for second place, right?
There are three people tied for the second most wins in the history of this
pressure,
game.
Pressure trying to tie Katie Bailey.
Katie Bailey Fitzpatrick
and only one
is,
person. Yes. Had the guts to show up.
That's right. Oh. That's a great point.
That's just what I'm saying. Oh. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't, you know, a lot of people.
This is a nice round number. Silver anniversary, episode 25.
Yeah.
So, Katie Bailey Fitzpatrick, who hasn't played the game in over a year, still has the most wins in the history of the game. But Chris Arps, Trish Gazelle, and Skip Weber are all tied with 5 wins, second most ever.
And if Skip and Chris can pull and off Trish a victory are very, today, very good, but obviously
they
don't they're not like clutch.
If Skip
it's
can
not
win
late innings of close games good.
Right. Right.
You know, that's the thing. So
but playing spoiler, Gabe Pfeiffer,
that's
who
right.
has a win in this
yep,
game.
I got one win.
Ryan
just
Wiggins
one.
Looking to get off the Schneid. Yep. And you know, we'll see how this goes. So all right, let's get into this.
All right.
Here we go. Weekend Report, Weird News Challenge.
Buzzer test.
Oh, yeah, buzzer test.
Do we have
good
any
part.
Multiple point questions?
We do.
All right.
Two of them.
Oh, see, that's those
again.
Are my favorite.
I know.
Yeah, those are
test
nice.
Your
I like those.
Buzzer, Mr. Weber.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, dings.
Whoop, whoop.
Gabe's got whoop, whoop, the sound of police. Okay.
Oh,
Ryan's
go.
Got the E's
Ryan's,
today.
Ryan's
we'll
changing
change
buzzers.
It up. Yeah, that's change
first,
it up.
That's the first
responder.
I can't
remember what I do, so.
All right, here we go. Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, episode number 25, question number 1. No Katie Bailey rule in effect, by the way. You buzz in whenever you want.
All right.
Burger King has a new promotion where you can get a Whopper for just 1 cent, 1 penny. But there's a catch. You have to order it on their app, and you have to be at a certain location when you order it. Where do you have to be to order the 1 penny Whopper?
Ew.
All right.
I'm going to say you have to be in the drive-thru.
No. That is incorrect. There are no negative. That's okay, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't lose points. Okay. We encourage participation.
Woop, woop.
Sound of the police.
Sound of the police.
Gabe Pfeiffer.
You have to be in the bathroom.
How would they know that you're in the bathroom?
I have no idea.
Like their bathroom?
You take a selfie.
Or your own bathroom?
You take a selfie
take a
by
selfie.
The sink.
How about...
You take a shot at it? Got to buzz
I
in.
I got to take a shot. Ding, 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 ding,
yeah,
ding, ding.
Okay.
How about you have to be at... You have to be at the movie theater.
Incorrect.
I don't know.
You guys are gonna. You guys are all gonna go. Oh,
oh no!
You have to be, and this is kind of, as a businessman, I want to get your thoughts on this. You have to be at a McDonald's.
Oh,
you have to be at a McDonald's.
So they're messing with them.
Yeah.
If you want to get in on the deal, you have to download the Burger King app, then go within 600 feet of a McDonald's and order a Whopper on the app. It will then the app will then give you directions.
To the nearest
Burger King,
where you can pick up your
1 cent Whopper.
Yeah, that's,
wow!
But the GPS will know that you're
right,
at McDonald's.
Near McDonald's.
I think that's great marketing.
Wow,
that makes sense too, because Burger King is basically just, hey, we're not McDonald's. Like that's kind of their
that's their deal.
That's right. That's right.
All right,
that's a good troll move.
No points there. Question number 2. This is a 2 point opportunity.
All right. All right.
First person to buzz in could take them both, or maybe leave a point out there for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Hostess announced this week that they're going to start making a breakfast cereal based off of two of their popular treats. Which Hostess products? Skip over.
I will go with Ding Dongs.
Incorrect.
Oh.
Ryan Wiggins.
Is it wide open?
I got to say Twinkie.
Incorrect.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Whoop, whoop. All right.
Please,
let's
Steve
see.
Pfeiffer.
Gosh, I don't know. What they're chocolate cupcake things. I can't remember what they're called.
Cupcakes.
I think they're called cupcakes.
Yeah, they're just cupcakes, right?
Incorrect.
No.
Oh, really?
What can they make a cereal out of?
Powdered donuts.
Oh, wow. And apple pies.
And honey buns.
Honey buns. I get the honey buns.
I guess.
I don't
Those
know,
are
I don't
probably standpoint.
Way better cereals for you than Ding Dong's cupcakes or Twinkies.
Well, yeah. You know, chocolate-based.
No, I had.
I get it, though. I get
Somebody brought in this week on the Dave Glover Show the powdered donut cereal, and it is good. And there is powder on there.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. It's
cool.
Yeah. And
that's
they are great.
All right.
So all tied at zero.
All tied at zero.
Man, we're
good thing we have that unbeatable tiebreaker system.
Yeah,
which when we get there, I have new rules on
the
tiebreaker
system.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
I'll explain it when we get there.
All right.
Now this one though, there are 10 points.
How come he gets to change the rules?
Because I'm the boss. It's my game.
I thought rules were supposed to be, you know, rules.
You know what? That's
a
good point.
Can't just
That's a good point. Let me ask the judges.
Right.
Judges, am I allowed to change the rules?
No.
I am allowed to change the rules, judges.
Little Blake's from
Who
the corner.
Who was that judge? Get that guy out of here.
That was the Russian judge.
Yet. All right, 10 points on the line for this one. Question number three, the final question. You guys don't get anything here, we go to the tiebreaker. Apple just released the most downloaded iPhone apps of the year. For 1 point each, can you name them? Hint, don't overthink it. 10 apps. What are the most downloaded apps on Apple iPhones this year? Hint,
don't overthink it.
Who wants it?
I can't think of any.
Usually
apps.
People are buzzing in early.
I know, right?
Don't overthink it.
It's the actual. Hey.
I can't pull out my phone.
I was going to do the same thing, and I knew that was cheating.
Ryan Wiggins, smart.
I knew that'd be cheating.
I don't know.
Ding, 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 ding,
judges,
ding.
Is it cheating?
Yeah.
No, it's not cheating. Great. Russian judge
says it's all good.
What is that?
That guy's corrupt. Yeah. All right. You're in. You buzz.
I will go first off with ESPN.
Not on the list. Not a bad guess. Dang. Not on the list. Skip Weber, unless you guys don't get it, he's not going to win today.
Yeah.
Wow. Unless we go to the tiebreaker.
Wow.
Somebody want to take a shot?
I have an
iPhone.
Got to
take a shot.
Okay. Woo.
Okay.
I
think the buzzer changed.
I'll say, maybe.
It's close.
We'll say, you know, iMusic or whatever.
iMusic.
Is that even
I don't even know what that is.
The one that you download the songs from.
That's the thing. And this is probably going to help Gabe. So many of the things I have and use all the time came on the phone.
Yeah.
I didn't download them. I don't even look at the names.
That's the problem. That's the thing. So maybe those might have been on this list.
They might have been on this list.
Probably are.
Woo-woo. I said don't overthink it.
How about Twitter?
No. I thought you were
Wow.
The top 10.
I'm going to the tiebreaker.
I was that close.
Okay, listen.
Okay, come on. We overthink these.
Google Maps. Oh, yeah.
Freaking yeah.
YouTube.
Duh.
Yeah.
I should have.
The guy who has a YouTube
show on YouTube. Hey,
that
by
is, by the way,
YouTube
wait a minute. I'm a little embarrassed with Google Maps and YouTube. But you not getting YouTube is pathetic.
I know. And that is pretty bad. That's
YouTube?
Pretty bad. See, that's why I need Tony to promote me, because I'm
If you say YouTube, Chevrolet corporate ad.
and GM.
And 97.1.
Yeah. Right, yeah. The radio.com app.
Instagram.
That makes
Snapchat.
Sense. Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Duh.
Facebook.
Duh.
Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Bitmoji. Netflix. Google Maps. Gmail. Yeah. And Spotify.
It is.
They're easy ones.
They are easy. Yeah.
Of course they're easy.
Yeah. Don't
I'm thinking about all the other stuff. Yeah.
Twitter is
Twitter's
huge.
A good one. I thought Twitter was going to be on there.
I had to triple check the list.
Yeah. All right. Because all the other social medias are on there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Wow. All right, here we go. Tiebreaker.
All right.
Here's the new rule of tiebreaker. Okay, because we always do this, like, who's going to go first, who's going to go first thing. You're not going to like this, Skip. The new rule is the person that has the most game wins has to go first.
Gotcha.
And then if there's a tie, like if there's two of you that have a game that are tied in game wins, then it's the one who won most recently has to go first. All so right. You're going to have to go first here, and
I'm
then Gabe will go second because he has a win, and and Ryan will have the advantage,
right?
Because he has no wins.
Okay,
I can understand that.
Closest guess wins. This is the tiebreaker. This will determine who wins this game. A new study asked people what are the most important factors in picking a spouse. According to the study, what percentage of people would rather marry for money than love? According to the study, what percentage of people would rather marry for money than love? Skip Weber is first.
28%.
28%. Skip Weber is in at 28%. Mm. Gabe Pfeiffer.
And I did use strategy in that number.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm gonna go a little higher.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 35%.
35%. Okay, here we go. Is he going to go in the middle? Is he going to go 27?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to go 36?
He's got options.
He's got options.
Yeah.
He's got options.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 27%.
27. Ooh. He's going to go down low.
He prices right at you.
He right into the narrowest band there. Mm-hmm.
And for the second week in a row, he picked wrong.
Oh!
56%
terrible.
Gabe Pfeiffer
would rather marry for money than love.
56% of people said that marrying someone for quote financial security is more important than marrying someone because they're in love.
That
should tell you about society.
That's a sad statement on society.
That's kind of sick.
Yeah.
All right. Gabe Pfeiffer.
All right. Can I have a commentary on your new rule?
Yeah, go ahead.
If it's a three-way tie,
uh-huh,
the potential person that gets screwed the most by the Price is Right strategy would be the middle picker.
Yeah,
by the Price is Right strategy.
Very
rarely
do all three people go to the tiebreaker.
But I'm just saying, if you're going to have that as a rule, today was tiebreaker, to make the least the person with the most wins at the biggest disadvantage.
Right. Today was a demonstration of ineptitude. In the
weird news challenge.
No. Oh, clearly.
Normally, we only have three people. I know. That's what I'm saying.
All tied at zero.
You just say that depending upon the number, that person, you're going to seed it based on advantage of wins.
Yeah. Usually, though, there's only two people.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I understand.
Absolutely.
Man.
Here, we may have a four person.
Hey, we're taking.
So that makes me the best of the worst.
There's always tinkering.
You're in.
I got two now.
Maybe the other two people who were scared to play had something there. You know, I felt that pressure.
Will they be back next
week? I see why they were too scared to show up.
Right?
I'll be back next week, though.
Will they? Who knows?
I don't know.
You just got to listen and find out.
Exactly.
All right. We got to go. We got another great segment coming up. Jason Nelson, the REM tribute band. The boys are here, and we're going to have live music coming up next on the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1.
That was rough.
Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here. Gabe Pfeiffer in for Chris Arps. Skip Weber sticking around for another segment. And now it's starting to get, now the room is getting full. Mm-hmm. Now it's starting to get exciting. The rock stars are here. Cool. Jason Nelson is here. We're going to have live music. We've been promoting it all show. The REM tribute show at Del Mar Hall is coming up right around the corner this Friday, December 14th. Woo-hoo. I'm going to be there hosting Jason Nelson. It's another Jason Nelson extravaganza, REM tribute, U2 tribute.
It's just in time, too, because it'll all the people that are disappointed with Justin Timberlake canceling his show the night before. Now they can.
This will make up for all of it.
You know,
this saves the weekend.
To Delmar Hall. Exactly.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
JT canceled.
Now
JT canceled.
It's all this additional pressure on you, Jason. Before we talk about the show next week, I want to talk to Skip Weber for just another second here about Weber Chevrolet, because we talked about this last week a little bit, Skip. Some people think that once December rolls around, it's not a good time to buy cars, but you were saying off the air that it's actually a really good time to buy a vehicle because of all the incentives.
Yeah, it can often be one of the best times of the year. You know, the when's the best time to buy a car question, that goes back to the old days. That goes back to, you know, almost pre-me being in the car business. Mm-hmm. And elements of it are left over. Of course, there's months where Detroit puts out higher incentives. Of course, there's months where maybe we have a goal that we have to meet, and we have to do just about anything to do to get there. But in all honesty, we are trying to sell as many cars as we can every month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when you have something like this where Chevrolet at the end of the year has said, okay, here's all these vehicles. It's not every single one on the lot, but it's almost all of them. GM employee price. It's an exciting time because this probably will shake out to be probably one of our two or three best selling months of the year, and it's because it'll be just an outrageous deal. And the neat thing about it is they've done this before. They've done it in the summer a couple times before. I'd say probably half dozen times in the last 20 years they've mm-hmm. done employee price for everyone. Real employee price. You hear it.
Right.
You hear other people say it, but it's kind of a phony. Not really getting there. This is backed by GM. It's really employee price. And the great thing about it is that even though it's the end of the year, we are not light on inventory with the 2018s.
Mm-hmm.
They've been sending us 2018 trucks all the way through. We're still getting a few more in. We've got a ton of 2018 Malibus. So that's two of our most popular right there. And the point being is that when you get to this time period and there's big incentives, sometimes you say, hey, I want that really good deal, and we'll have to point you over and say, okay, there's the last four vehicles to choose from. If you like one of those four, you get that deal. I mean, this is the same selection of a pickup truck that you ever have with the big deal on it.
Yeah.
And that's what's unique about it. That's
awesome.
What's kind of neat. Yeah.
So you guys have the three locations, Creve Coeur, Granite City, Columbia, Illinois. Is there one sort of overarching website that people can go to?
WeberChevrolet.com.
That's the one. Okay.
Now, the thing about it is that the stores are different enough that we don't have all the inventory on the one. We used to try.
Gotcha.
We tried to do it, but it was just too different.
Uh-huh.
So now we go, and you will have some generic things about our company and how to do things, and you can even ask for information and submit a credit app or whatever. But then we ask you to choose a
location. But you can do it all based off that website,
Based on that website, and so you can pick. You know, you can go to one, then go to the other real quick,
right?
Back and forth, and so you can still compare the stores.
Gotcha. Cool. And one of the reasons I wanted to have Skip stick around for this segment is because Skip Weber. Known, of course, for being the best car dealership in the city, but also probably the biggest music fan in the city.
Among car dealers,
guy who goes to more shows than anybody I know. You have been to many and been a part of many Jason Nelson extravaganzas in the past,
absolutely,
including the Queen tribute show.
Amazing.
Yep.
So wanted to make sure that you stuck around and you were a part of this segment.
We've always been a big supporter of Jason's works, and
yes.
I mean, really kind of focused on the Queen stuff.
Yeah.
That's kind of our niche with it. But I'm sure that it'll be a fabulous show.
Oh, you know? I've seen
Jason, you know, do INXS and a couple other.
Yes.
Other
bands.
So I think I have not seen the REM. I think you guys did it last year. Is that right?
Yeah.
In March.
But I imagine that it was very, very good.
It's
knowing
awesome.
The other stuff that I know.
So REM is like my favorite band. And, you know, and when you said a year ago that you were putting this together and then we did the show in March, I was so excited, but at the same time, like, please be good.
Please
be good. please, like, make the music good.
The
and
bar
it was
is high.
Incredible. And I love Del Mar Hall. I talk about it.
Oh, it's one of the best places to
It really is, yeah. isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It has, for me, it has, like, picked up where Mississippi Nights left off.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Mississippi Nights will never be duplicated, in my opinion. I mean, I was in, you know, in high school. I'm a kid of the 90s. And so Mississippi Nights was, like, the coolest place you could go. And I felt like we didn't have that.
I think a lot of that is because of how new that kind of experience was to you.
Yeah,
I think if you took Mississippi Nights and built it across the street from Del Mar Hall, there'd be at least half the people would prefer Del Mar Hall.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
that good of a place.
Well,
yeah.
With Del Mar Hall, I mean, yeah. you know, Mississippi Nights was just like, you know, a hole. You know, yeah. like
it was an
iconic
destination.
But it was amazing. But it was iconic.
Yeah.
Del Mar Hall was built for the acoustics and the right. sound, and I mean, it really caters to live music. And for me, once Del Mar Hall opened, it gave us another really cool venue that we hadn't had. This is all my opinion since Mississippi Nights to go and watch a show. And so I freaking love REM. I love U2. I love Jason Nelson. I love Del Mar Hall. And so there is like no better place to be this Friday, December 14th, than Del Mar Hall, REM tribute. Talk about the guys we have in studio and talk about the show that everybody's going to see on the 14th, Jason.
I am joined in studio with Chris Graybaugh on mandolin, and he plays guitar with the band as well.
We have a mandolin in the studio!
Right. Will Horton on bass. Jim Wells on guitar and acoustic guitar in the studio today.
Yes.
And the man that put all of this together actually is named Mike Rose, and Mike Rose is the drummer for the REM tribute band.
Okay,
Murmur.
Cool.
We have a band called 120 Minutes is our classic alternative rock cover band.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike, a year ago, said, what do you guys think of this idea? So, well, makes perfect sense to
us.
God
bless you, Mike.
Let's do this. And it was totally embraced. First show at Del Mar Hall in March was sold out. And we're doing it again Friday, December 14th. We coincidentally have a flash sale with a promo code.
Oh.
If you are so inclined, go and find us on Facebook, Murmur, that's M-U-R-M-U-R, and search it up, 120 minutes. Del Mar Hall has put a promo code on there for tickets, so you get you know, a little incentive to compel you to not only purchase tickets for yourself, but your friends, your family.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to come to this show. So it takes all the concern off the table.
You need
to get to this show.
Yeah. I have all, so you can go to Del Mar Hall's website. You can go to my Twitter, at TonyColombo971. I have all the information about the show pinned to the top of my Twitter profile. I will, if there's promo information to add, we will talk off the air, and I will get that added there as well so people can go to my Twitter and get one-stop shopping, get all that information, or go to Del Mar Hall's website, buy your tickets now, and just make sure you have them before Friday in case, you know, we have another sellout. You don't want to miss it.
I need to mention we're co-headlining the show.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yes, I want to talk about that for sure.
There is a U2 tribute band called U2 Hype. They go on at 8 p.m., mm-hmm. so doors are at 7. U2 at 8, REM at 10.
Yeah.
So.
He looked for help from the boys, and the boys all went, yeah.
It's going to be a rock and roll night. Yeah.
Time, boys? What time? 10? Okay, yep. Good. They all shrugged their shoulders. That means
yeah,
it's 10.
Whenever U2's done.
Yeah. I'm glad, and I mentioned, and that's the way I talked about it earlier, and I'm glad that I was right, and you just confirmed it, that it is a, it's a co-headline deal. So you're going to get a full U2 set as well.
Oh, yeah.
So you're going to get all, you're going to get a full set of U2 music, a full set of REM music, and if you are...
Over an hour
if
and
you're
a, half
a kid of my generation, if you're Generation X, I mean, this is the this is the best as it gets.
It's a sweet spot.
It is a sweet spot.
For most.
Yes, absolutely. Let's play a song.
Great.
All right. So here is Murmur, the REM tribute. It's happening December 14th out at Del Mar Hall. We'll chat a little bit more with Jason after this, but let's hear some music. Take it away, guys.
It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The lengths that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner. Me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much. I haven't said enough. I thought that I heard you laughing. I think I thought I saw you try. Every whisper of every waking hour, I'm choosing my confessions, trying to keep an eye on you like a hurt, lost and blinded fool. Set it out. Consider this. Consider this. The end of the century. Consider this. The slip that brought me to my knees failed. What if all these fantasies come flailing around? Now I said too much. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. I think I thought I saw you try. But that was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight, losing my religion, trying to keep up with you, and I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I said too much. I haven't said enough. I thought that I heard you laughing. I thought that I heard you sing. I think I thought I saw you try. But that was just a dream. Try, cry, why, try. That was just a dream. Just a dream, just a dream, dream.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Very nice of that.
Thanks, guys.
Great job. Great. Fellas. Great, great stuff. Jason Nelson in studio with Murmur, the REM tribute band, tribute show coming up this Friday, December 14th, Del Mar Hall. One more time, Jason, tell folks about everything happening that night and how they can get tickets, and don't miss this amazing show.
Nice. Yeah, Friday, December 14th, Murmur, a tribute to R.E.M., and U2 Hype, a tribute to U2, are at the Del Mar Hall. If you cruise on over to delmarhall.com, or you can find us on Facebook. Tickets, we're having a flash promo sale for the next 4 days.
I love it.
Look us up. Get your tickets. We'll meet you at Del Mar Hall next Friday, December 14th.
Last REM show sold out. Don't miss this one. Get your tickets now. Don't wait until the day of the show. Get them ahead of time and make sure you don't miss it. Again, I have all the stuff posted on my Twitter profile, too. At the I pinned it all to the top of my Twitter profile, at TonyColombo971. Go there to get information and tickets. Del Mar Hall website, Murmur on Facebook, all those places. There's no excuse to miss this show. So, Jason, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you, guys.
And being a part of this. I will see you Friday, December 14th. Out at Del Mar Hall. I can't wait. Thank you, boys. Thanks for everything. You guys sound amazing. I can't wait to see everybody next Friday. That is going to do it for another edition of the Weekend Report. Don't forget, if you missed anything, you want to hear that great music again, all the great interviews we did today, download the radio.com app. Favorite the radio station, FM News Talk 97.1, and with a click of a button, you can stream the radio station and download all the podcasts of all the shows right there, including this one, The Weekend Reports. You can... Close Encounters.
Don't forget Close Encounters.
The number one music station, or the number one music show on a talk station in the world is 30 minutes away at 7:30. Close Encounters with Skip Weber and the legendary Mark Close. So grab a beverage and don't go anywhere. Keep it right here. For Gabe Pfeiffer, a.k.a. St. John the Philosopher, the amazing St. John the Philosopher YouTube show, thank you again for being in for Chris Arps and for Ryan Wiggins, our producer. I'm Tony Colombo. We'll see you next Saturday at 3 o'clock right here, or at 5 o'clock, excuse me. I think I'm doing two-way radio. 5 o'clock here on FM News Talk 97.1 for the Weekend Report. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.